I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two. I am joined by, look, probably one of like the most famous people I've ever had the pleasure of talking to.
Oh, no.
Honestly, sorry, I was like, I just rushed to the toilet in the break and I was like,
you're allowed.
Yeah, reading me notes and sort of thinking, you know, let me just make sure I get it right. And I'm reading all of your songs and I'm like, no, you are a fucking icon, mate. Like, I love so many of your songs. Like that Thank one you, you did with E17.
If you ever.
If you ever. Oh,
I'm girl.
No, I can't. I'm like a bag of strangled cats and I'm certainly not singing in front of you. Fucking hell.
Oh, you're allowed. You're allowed.
Right, before I go on and continue my questions, do you ever get that? Do you ever get people like on nights out or in restaurants coming up to you and singing your songs to you? Is it cringe or do you love it?
No, I do love it. Just don't sing into my food. You know what I mean? But I do.
Popping those peas. Oh, right, mate. So we are in 1993. Yeah. Dreams has just been released and it goes straight to the top of the UK singles chart. Did you expect it to be such of a big hit?
Hell no. I mean, it was one of those things where when I think about it, I don't think a lot of people did. I had a lawyer at the time who I was going for a bit of a legal issue with the song. And he was like, oh, just go and forget that one and go on to another one. And I looked at him and I was like, no, I fired him subsequently after that. But then we went straight into number two, then number one. So, but I never expected it. So, you know, the fact that he did, it was like, I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And I think, like I said, all the haters, I shouldn't talk about haters because we're in the 50s. I'm in my 50s now and it's over 30 years ago, but like I said, it never leaves you. And I'm like, you didn't package it.
But then honestly, like, I know we're meant to be like turning the other cheek and you know, hurt people, we're meant to feel sorry for them and all that. But honestly, mate, like, I think fuck them.
Yeah. Am I being petty? Am I allowed to be petty?
You're allowed to be petty. If somebody consistently made you feel some type of way about something that made you happy, I think they're a bit shit. And we're allowed to be like, we're allowed to be a bit spiteful. Like,
no, it's true. We're just human.
Yeah, we are, after all. So what was your first TV performance? Because obviously I know you did Top the Pops over the years plenty of times, but was it your first ever one? What was your first
one? It was my first ever TV one. I'd never done a television prior to that. And it was like, it was weird because obviously growing up and watching the show and seeing all your favourite people on there and, you know, just leaving that time and then, you know, having a little jig in your living room or in my case, in my bedroom. So to actually be doing that, and I couldn't believe it. It was surreal. Yeah, it was just crazy. And, you know, now when I look back, I think, oh, my God. And then I would have to keep going back, you know, and it was just fun. But it was my first ever TV performance, something that I could never have imagined. And now I feel a bit of a novice. It's nice.
That's a bit of talk about a baptism of fire, girl.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't have just done like a little one to wet your whistle. Yeah. You went balls to the wall, Gabrielle.
The main one, exactly. So that was fun, yeah.
And who else was on it at the same time? Can you remember?
You know something? Everyone keeps asking me this question. All I remember at the time, I think it would have been Four Non-Blondes would have been in the charts, but I can't remember if we were on then. I think I took UB40 off the number one position. But if I'm honest, I can't remember who was there that day just because... Yeah. You know what I mean? You're just caught up in this whirlwind and it was like, what was I going to wear? And, you know, just everyone, just lots of noise and... at the same time, me looking around and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing Tour de Pots. And just things like, oh my God, the studio is not as big as you thought it would be. But
never is. Never
you know what
is.
I mean? But outside that, I thought I was almost in my own little bubble of just emotions that where I'd come from and where I was currently standing, which was on Top of the Pops, that my family were going to see, and any, you know, any of my small amount of friends that I had at the time. So yeah, that was it. That it was all about me. So at the time, whoever was there, I know they were amazing, but I don't remember them.
But it should have been about you, because that was your moment. That was what you'd been working towards. So
exactly.
No, you are. I'm glad that you enjoyed it and were very present.
I really did.
Good, good, good. Over the years, mate, you had loads more hit singles. Going Nowhere, Give Me a Little More Time, Walk Up By, If You Ever, obviously, 17.
Yeah.
Doing all these amazing things, like enjoying this success,
must
have been incredible, exciting, and all these brilliant things. Got to ask, who was the most famous person you ever met?
Oh, my God. You know something? Who is the most famous? I mean, I've met Lionel Richie. I've met Elton John. Now, you know what? For me, the person, they were all incredible. I would have to say the most famous person for me that was someone that was like meeting a king. And I've met Prince himself. And I've met Prince Charles. Both of them. Not any of them. It was Nelson Mandela.
Oh, I can see that.
I met Nelson Mandela, and that was a feeling of, It was phenomenal. It was a Labour Party conference centre. I'd been invited, I'm not into politics, but I'd been invited to sing like Dreams with a school choir, and he was going to be there. And basically, when I finished performing, he was like, I wanted to come and dance. I'm like, you should have done. So for me, he's the most memorable. And I would say he's probably one of the most famous people in the world. He was definitely. So I met a few, but he was the most.
That's a pretty good one. That is the most famous person, yourself excluded. It's probably Eamon Holmes.
Oh, I love Eamon, but I love it. Who doesn't love Eamon Holmes though?
I know.
He's been on all our TV, so we always felt like we knew him, right? So we know him. He's still going.
King of daytime telly.
Yeah, exactly.
Not quite Nelson Mandela, but you know.
Yeah.
So this bit gets a bit hazy for me, but for you, I'm relying on you to fill in the gaps.
Okay.
I can just remember you being super successful and having a great time and everybody loving all your songs.
Yeah.
And then you had like a little hiatus.
Yes.
What inspired that? Was it forced hiatus? Was there something else you wanted to do with your life? Like, explain to me what was happening in that period.
Right. So whenever I have a hiatus, because it wasn't just one, it literally was, I'd go away and have like every 3 years I was bringing out music. But my kids, I would say that the time I had my son and then my daughter came along, and then it was a case of, it was more about family. And, you know, thankfully I had my mum who, you know, she was a social worker who gave up her work to look after my children. And as soon as, when I wasn't making music, I was just doing the school run and all the normal things, going and watching their plays, being a nuisance on the, you know, at sports day, when my son recalls, Mum, do you remember when I was running and it was raining and you were running along my side and by my side with this umbrella? I'm so embarrassed. He's like 28 now, but you know, things like that. I'm like, well, you've got a son, you just wait until, you know.
Yeah, you will.
But it was just things like that. And then it was just one of those things. And then I think the longest time I was away, I can't remember the time, but before the Under My Skin album, I think I'd been away for about 11 years. And although I'd been making music or writing, I wasn't actively making an album, you know what I mean? So it came at a time when it was a bit of a standstill. I was more just focusing on being at home and my kids were growing up. And then now they're both offhand. And although I've got my grandson, I'm like, you chose to have a baby. I'm gonna have fun right now. So I'm still being a grandma and having fun. But aside from that, there were so many things going on in my personal life. But when I could finally just land on my feet in terms of emotionally, you know, I've just given my all to my kids. It was a case of, now what do I want to do now? They're both, I don't have to worry about the school run and parents' evenings, all those things. So now it just became a case, what do I want to do? And I just fully immersed myself back into music. And the beauty of it was, I didn't have to worry about, oh, I've got to go on a tour, but I have to keep coming back home because my mum's looking after the kids. I went away for a tour, a 32-date tour last year. And I came home once in 6 weeks because it was, which would never have happened. I'm like, oh my God, my kids are big. Just make sure there's no parties at the house. And I, you know, that it's tidy by the time we get back. But yeah, so I, you know, in terms of the hiatus, it was definitely necessary. I wasn't that artist who felt they needed to come out all the time to be remembered or to make music, but maybe I would have been more successful. But like the Rihannas of this world, it was kind of churning that music, but it wasn't me and it's not me. And it's only now that I've been consistently kind of back since 2021. I was doing, like, I did a tour then, tour last year, then I've got another one lined up for next year. But, you know, in terms of all my absences, I think have been very necessary.
Yeah.
And especially good for my mental health, I'd say. And now I'm back and you can't stop me.
You know what? Like, that's, you are actually so ahead of your time, Gabrielle. Like, listening to you talk, I know now, you know, people are often saying things like, oh, you know, take that break, protect your mental health. Like, can't go from an empty cup. And you should take time off and have your children celebrate them when they're young, because they're only young once.
Precisely.
Actually, all of these mindsets are incredibly modern and actually, like, quite progressive. I don't feel as though, like, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, when like, people were even thinking like that.
But I've always been like that. I was always like, you know, people, like, they would be like, you get the celebrities who they wanted to, there's nothing wrong with it. I think that if you're that outgoing person and you want to go to every party and be seen at every opening, so I think that's fantastic. It just was never who I was. And away from, like, doing music, you'd never really see me out and about. I was just being a mum. And for some people, they're like, oh, no, I can't stand it. I don't want, you know what I mean? It was what I needed to do, and I felt more comfortable. And it just allowed me to be myself. It allowed me to take time. And I didn't even realise now, when I think about, that's what I was doing. But you're right, that whole ideology and all the things that, you know, I speak of, they're now the trend. It's not even a trend, it's what people need to do, and we're doing a lot less of back in those days. And I believe I was very selfish, and I needed to be selfish.
It's a good selfish, a good kind of selfish. 100%.
You know, as opposed to being, like, selfless, whereas now I'm like, I'm selfish. But in those, you know, I was selfish, but I was doing things where you put your kids first, which parents do. But saying now, I'm like, I'm being selfish now, honey. But I was selfish then for my own protection, and it worked. And I think that's all you can do. And I think that now I'm glad that people are more aware and more mind aware, because, you know, I think for a long time people didn't talk about mental health and stuff like that. And I think because I've always been a talker, I never got a chance to bottle it up, because if you were going to get it, I'm going to tell you what's up. You're going to know
best
about
to
it.
Be.
You know what I mean? So, and I think that's better. I think you'll find the people who carry those things less and do probably get less of a mental health issue is because they're the ones talking more. And it's those people who told you've got to be strong. So hence why men are a lot affected too, but they're like silently they're being affected, and it causes so many things. But I just think if we can all just let everyone know, you must talk, do not keep it in, because you're like a time bomb and you will explode, and not in necessarily the best way. You know what I mean? In effect, it could be detrimental to yourself. Yeah. So that's why, you know, I'm an advocate for that to this day. Talk. Yeah.
No, yeah. I absolutely agree. A problem shared is a problem halved at the end 100%. Of the year, I believe. I also think as well, like, if you look at the songs you've had out, you
know,
each single one has been very strong, you know, a complete banger, very memorable, like, all charted well. But also, like, because you took yourself away, you were able to like have your children, nurture your kids, nurture that relationship, be a good mom. Whenever you came back, it's because you had something to say. You had something worth saying. And I just think, I don't know, mate, like, you just got the balance right. And whether it was unintentional or what, like, I think we could all, even like generations coming, Gen Z, whatever it is, learn a lot from the way you did things.
Oh, thank you. I know my record company weren't always happy. They'd be like, oh my God, it's like she's a new artist. If she takes this long, we have to kind of reintroduce her to everyone again. But I'm like, we just got to do, I can't give you anything any quicker than what I'm doing.
Get off me back, man.
Exactly, precisely.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, mate, very recently you have done a little bit of TV. You did the Masked Singer. You've got to tell us what it was like, mate, because I love that show.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, the idea of it was just incredible. But the first day I was recording, I was like, I'm quitting because I was menopausal.
You're sweating your tits off.
Yeah, and then I'm like, I didn't realise I was claustrophobic until you put this thing on my head and expect me to walk. And I nearly quit the show, but they've got amazing people. And the moment I could relax into it, I was like, you know what, this is really cool. And then you realise, like, I realised the magnitude of what we were doing, the idea of, I always tell people this, military and the army didn't have anything on the Masked Singer, because I was there and I never knew who anybody was. And it wasn't until I was at home watching it like everybody else. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I didn't know that Mel B was in the room. Or you just don't know anyone because they're so clever. You don't know the ethnicity of anyone, nothing. You're not allowed to speak. So now I look back and I think, what an incredible thing. You know, in my heart, I'll always be Harlequin. And it was just a phenomenal time. And what a time during lockdown to be able to do something so big. So I've got that to be thankful for, because we didn't get a chance to do like performances, you know what I mean? So to actually be on TV, it was all in a safe environment. It was fantastic and love it. I love the out. Everything was incredible. So my time doing the Masked Singer was so memorable. I'll never forget it. It was fantastic.
Oh, mate, honestly, it was so good. I do love it. Let's talk celebrity fans, because I know probably over the years you've had so many, but like more recently, Adele and Stormzy are huge fans of yours as well, aren't they?
You know what? It was incredible. I mean, I've always loved Adele. And
me too.
You know, I mean, she is super, super mega, mega. And just the idea of being approached to, you know, open up for her, for, you know, British Summertime, Hyde Park, it was a case of what? And, you know, I just couldn't believe it. And then, you know, she'd handpicked these different females and I was one of them, and I was going to be the act before she'd come on stage. And I remember thinking, who's going to stick around or even be there before, you know, she gets on stage, because she's incredible. She was incredible. Oh. I remember going out on stage and then I was doing a performance and she was there in her rollers. This woman is just incredible. And she's like, she's so huge, she doesn't have to worry. I mean, most of us probably wouldn't come out in rollers, but she looked, I mean, come on, she made rollers like the thing where, I mean, all right, they did say, what's her name? Hilda Ogden from, what's it, Coronation Street?
Coronation Street.
I love, that's it. But she was incredible. And and then that happened and I supported her for 2 days. And then not long after that, we got the call from Stormzy's camp saying about me, you know, to be in this video. And I didn't even know what kind of thing. I just felt like, oh, my God, he's another megastar. He's incredible and so lovely. And I didn't meet him until the video. And I just thought, oh, my God, this is really cool. So I'm like, and if you've got kids, I'm like, look at me now. I'm in a Stormzy video. Such a kid. I'm a grandma. I'm not supposed to be being childlike, but I am. I don't care. I'll own it. That was another incredible thing. And then just to see the different people he had in the video, and the lineup was phenomenal. So just to have been included totally humbled me again. And I'm like, wow, what's going to happen? Because it's so many great things were happening. But now I've got, these are all memorable things again that I'll never stop talking about. I'll never stop feeling gassed about. And yeah, wow. You know, all I can say is wow, wow, and wow some more. So that's a Kylie song, right? But a tune.
You're such a gorgeous, humble person, Gabrielle. Honestly, no wonder you've had a career span in decades. Like, you're just so nice. I'd be like, yeah, fucking get her on the show. She'd be crack. Wicked crack.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was amazing to do.
We've had a lot, like, we've talked a lot about the highs of your incredible career. And it's been really easy to do because you've had so many.
100%. Yeah.
But with life, there is always light and shade.
Oh,
and
yes.
I wondered if you'd had like any low points of your career or moments that stick out as being quite difficult for you.
Oh my God. Well, I never talk about my personal life, but the one thing when I had the partner, and that's probably the biggest thing that was like the low. But aside from that, because now we're talking over 20 odd years, so I'm feeling like, you know, no, actually we're talking about, you know, nearly 27, 28 years ago. So now I'm like, that was probably one of the lowest times, but the fact that you can go for those things, I mean, Rise was born as a consequence of my private life and things going negative, but mostly, you know, over the years, I mean, you have things that happen in your private life and you're like, oh my God, don't want to talk about that. But for example, I got my brother died about 3 weeks ago, and so I'm still dealing with that, and he was my baby brother. So, always going to have, that's right, you're always going to have things that, you know, will choke you, affect you. And I'm like, I can't have this up now. You can't, you know, because I'm in kind of promo mode and stuff like that. But at the same time, you realize that things happen and it's life, and we lose loved ones, and it's a heartbreak. But you just have to move on with life. And whether you're, you know, we've lost some, whether you're in a relationship and that breaks, you've got to try not to lose yourself. I always say, well, my mum, she's a bit naughty, she'd be like, when you're having a relationship, just make sure you only give 10%. I'm like, mum, that's a bit greedy. 10%. So I don't expect anyone to have this pure love if you're only going to give 10%. But I just think you've just got to love yourself. So if anybody comes into your life, you just know that they're not here to make you, not here to make you love. They're here to enhance what you already have done.
That's it.
So if they come along, it's a case of, I don't need you, but I kind of like the idea of you being my life. So just the highs and lows now, that's how I approach things, that, you know, and it's like, but nothing so bad that I couldn't overcome. And I've had a lot of sad things, as many people do, but it's about finding the mechanisms that allow you to kind of, you know, transcend all these negative things and all the sad emotions, and recognize that you can kind of compartmentalize things, but you know that at the end of the thing, at the end of it all, it's like you must continue on, because life is an amazing journey that, whilst we're still here and whilst we still can, we should enjoy it. And even if you have bad times, as long as you talk, you will overcome these things. It takes time. You know, I'm grieving, but you will overcome. And eventually when you put distance, you'll be like, oh, can't believe I'm this side of it. So, you know, in terms of negativity, there's always going to be negativity, but it's how you choose to process, to deal with, to handle, and it's the best way to deal with it for you. You know, you can't look at someone, there's no textbook of how you deal with things that are negative. You do what is right for you in here, and it's about looking after what's in here. So that's where I'm at in terms of negativity. It's like, yeah, it happens, but I've got big shoulders. You have to learn to shrug things off, deal with them, and move on. And that's all I can say without giving too much away.
No, honestly, it's just so, you're so honest and lovely, Gabrielle. This is a real, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. I wanted to ask, in terms of your process, you know, like, is writing songs a part of that for you?
100%.
Do you turn your grief, your experiences into your art?
Yes, there are times when sometimes it becomes so, like, you become so blurred in terms like your, you know, whether you're grieving, whether you're stressed, whether you, you know, depend, that I can't straight away. And then when I'm ready, when my brain is ready to have, you know, when I would say I've properly processed things, that's when I can go into doing what I do for me. And I've always said that when I write, it's therapeutic, because I don't know how else to be. And I've always written, and it's like, for me, making music, when I go into the studio, I say making music, but I'm the writer, I'm the lyricist, I'm the melody, I call it the melody queen.
Yeah.
The producers, when I go in with them, they write the most beautiful pieces of music. And the moment I hear it, providing it speaks to me, then I can go on to apply to it what I've gone through, what I've been experiencing, and what I've written, as a poem maybe, or just like an experience or my emotions, and I translate that into a song. So that's how it works for me, and it's always been an amazing therapeutic process.
I'm pleased that you have something like that that's cathartic for you.
Thank you.
And we're going to segue into something slightly happier now.
Okay, wonderful. Okay. Yeah,
you strike me as a very positive pigeon, so I don't want to dwell on the negative too long.
Yeah.
You have a very busy and exciting 2024 coming up, is that right? Yes. She's back and she's better than ever, bitches.
I love it.
I want to know all about your new music, the gigs have coming up, where I can see you, like just tell me everything.
Oh wow, okay, so right, I've got a new album coming out May the 10th called A Place in Your Heart, and it was such a fun album to do. I wrote it with my producer Ian Barter, who gives me the most incredible music, and we just gel, he's just phenomenal. And it's a case of like, we've got the song also called A Place in Your Heart out. And that was a fun thing because I got to do it on Graham Norton. And I just can't believe what's happening. We've just got a summer lined up of festivals. I'm going to be touring next year. We've announced a tour, but I'll be doing for 2025. I'll be at the O2 Arena next year and a few dates, which I believe you'll be able to see on my website at Gabrielle UK. And wow. I mean, I know that my manager, if she starts showing me lists and I start quaking in my boots, but before I know it, I'm like, what do you mean? Is this all? I want more. But, I'll probably be saying that at the very end, but just excited because I came off a tour last year, and I think you get the blues pretty quickly. Every other day I was doing shows, or every like for 3 days on, one day off. And it was so much fun because, like I said, I didn't have to worry about having the kids. They're all big now. And I just had fun with my band. And it's like, like I said, off the top of my head, I haven't got the dates of where I'm going to be. But you can pretty much find me at some festival this year.
She's out having
exactly.
it all
and
summer.
I've been supporting Sir Tom Jones a couple of gigs and a few other things. But I'm going to be at the Cambridge Club. I think we've got Chaka Khan, who's going to be doing the main thing, and it's just going to be just exactly. I'm like, I always love Chaka Khan, always wanted to see her. So that'd be this year. So just so many things lined up and so much fun because I've got new music, and new music is just my life. Just being able to write songs and to bring what I've done from the studio onto the stage, that's always a dream of mine that I keep being able to fulfill. So I'm really excited by that.
I'm excited for your summer, mate. You're going to have a hot girl summer.
Just yeah, 100%.
Just a quick one. Do you fancy Tom Jones a little bit? Because I do.
You know what? Who didn't and who doesn't? What a sexy geezer.
Yeah, I know. I saw him a couple of years ago. Ollie Mears invited us to go to
The
Voice.
Mears.
I know, he's so nice. And I went to The Voice, and obviously me and my grandma were huge fans of Sir Tom. And I had one too many drinks before I met him. And I was telling him about how much my grandma loved him.
Oh,
and I was
wow.
Your grandma fucking loves you. And I was like, now I can see you in real life. I was like, I'd actually let you wear me like a hat. And he didn't know.
I love it.
Honestly, he kept looking at Ollie Mears and be like, what did she just say? Honestly, it's best if you don't know, son.
Fantastic. No, amazing. I'm jealous.
Oh, well, honestly, let me know how you get on with your summer of love with Sir Tom, Gabrielle.
I look forward to it. He might run from me.
No, honestly, if you didn't run from me, girl. I just wanted to say, congratulations on everything achieved and everything
you're
still achieving. Like, I knew I was going to love you.
I love you too.
So nice. Honestly, mate, you're actually, people say, oh, don't meet your heroes, don't meet the people you love, but
you're
fucking class.
Bloody lovely.
Thanks. Before I let you go, here at Vicky Patterson The Secret 2,
okay.
We always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a couple of pearls of wisdom.
Okay.
And you've gave us loads throughout the podcast, so I do feel like I'm being greedy, but I swear this is the last one.
Okay.
I just wanted to know what your secret was to making your dreams come true.
Oh my gosh. I would say the secret to making my dreams come true was believing in myself, staying on the course when others seem to doubt you. And just never sway from who you are. Do what you want to do. Do what brings you joy. And I believe the rest will come. And I feel that's what happened to me. And I've got, yeah, I'm living the dream. And as you can too, just believe in yourself. Yeah.
That was such lovely advice from the one and only fucking guy.
Thank you, my darling. You're a diamond, you are.
Oh, I'm absolutely thrilled. Thank you so much for making
thank
me journey.
Thank you. You've been good. You're gorgeous. And thank you. You've made my day, my darling. Thank you. And maybe meet in real life one day, okay?
I would absolutely love to, girl. I'm definitely going to come see you in one of your gigs. Oh my God, that was Gabrielle, the Gabrielle. I know all sense of professionalism just totally went out the window, but I was so excited and so nervous. I hope I managed to keep my cool. I was sweating from behind the knees and everything. She's even better than I thought she'd be. Honestly, her songs are like the soundtrack to my youth. Oh, I loved her. Right. Whew, calm down. Gabrielle is everywhere this summer. She wasn't kidding. She's got loads of gigs. So if you want to catch her in real life, please head to our website now. Just Google her. You'll find everything there. What an episode. God. Vicky Patterson, The Secret too. If you're loving it, please tell your mates about it. Leave a review. Do all of the lovely podcasty things. And if you prefer to consume your content in a more visual way, that's in very fancy, then you can head to our YouTube. Have the very best week, everybody. You deserve it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.